honorable and distinguished friends, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a normal session of the National Assembly of Pakistan. Today, my first task, indeed my immediate task, my first obligation, my immediate obligation, my first responsibility, my supreme responsibility is to bow my head in humility to Almighty Allah for the great honor that has been bestowed on me by the noble and heroic people of Pakistan for electing me as their Prime Minister once again. As I stand in front of you and before you, honorable members of the National Assembly of Pakistan, each of you who have been elected to this House, each of you who have equal representation to me in terms of the numbers that you represent in your constituency, I would like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your very generous and for your very sincere support in not only electing me to continue as the Prime Minister of the Islamic Republic of Pakistan, but in all the support you have given me. Before the National Assembly was convened, during these recent elections, and before these elections, when some of you, quite a number of you, were members of this House, I am most happy to renew our union and our association with those honorable members who were members of the previous assembly, who took part in the outstanding and historic task of framing the Constitution of the Islamic Republic of Pakistan, and who rendered many other yeoman services to the country. I would also like to assure the new members, the members who have been elected to the present House, that from my side, both as Prime Minister and as the Chairman of the party, I will give them my fullest and sincerest cooperation, and that inshallah ta'ala we will work together unitedly for the good of our people and for the good of our country. Mr. President and Mr. Speaker, sir, I do not want to impose on your time. And when I say that I do not want to impose on your time, I do not use these words in the narrowest sense. When I say this, I sincerely mean that at no stage would I like to impose myself on the people of Pakistan. at no stage would I like to inflict myself on the people against their wishes and against their choice. By training, by education, and by the career that I have chosen, I firmly believe in the supremacy of the people. I firmly believe in the supremacy of their will. For me, there is only one road and only one path. This I made abundantly clear when I spoke to the nation on the television and radio on the 8th of this month. Sometimes politicians or people in public life might suffer under the illusion that there is more than one road for those who dedicate their services to the cause of the people. But in reality and in truth, there is no alternative but to stand committed to the people, to stand involved with the people, to be fully associated with them, and if at any stage a process of alienation, temporary or otherwise, sets in, it is best to bow to the will of the people. For these reasons, we held elections in Pakistan. These were, in a sense, our first elections. There were elections before in undivided India. There were the famous elections of 1945 and 1946, which brought about the creation of our beloved country. But those elections were also held under a foreign umbrella. Those elections were not elections of a free, independent, and a sovereign country. They were, in a sense, supervised elections. However, after those elections, when we became free, when we gained our independence, we did not hold any general elections in Pakistan. There were provincial elections. There were elections held in a number of provinces, except in the province of Balochistan, which was not given the status of a province in those days, and which did not become a province until their present constitution was promulgated. I do not want to take up your good time and your precious time on those elections and on those past events. Afterwards, as time rolled on, in 1962, we held elections which were not based on adult franchise. Those elections came under a scheme called the Basic Democracy, wherein 80,000 people, 80,000 members of the Basic Democracy, 30,000 from what is now Pakistan and then West Pakistan, and 40,000 from East Pakistan and now what is Bangladesh, had to choose not only their president, because we operated under a presidential system at that time, but they had to choose members of the National Assembly, and they had to choose members of the Provincial Assembly. The constituencies were so narrow, the scope was so limited, that in the case of provincial assemblies, a person could get elected to a provincial assembly by securing about 25 to 30 votes. And in the case of a national assembly, a person could be elected by securing about 80 to 100 odd votes in a constituency. In those kind of elections, in those restricted circumstances, it was not difficult to manipulate the outcome of the result. It did not require any imagination to be able to indulge in malpractices. After those elections, which could hardly be described as democratic elections based on adult franchise, we held elections in this country in 1970. Those were general elections, but those elections were also not held by a political government, but were held under martial law, and the circumstances therefore were inherently different. Now, since 1947, since our independence, for the first time, it was in 1977 that we held general elections on the basis of adult franchise throughout the country, both for the National Assembly and for the Provincial Assembly, one on the 7th and the other on the 10th. These elections were conducted and supervised by the Election Commission of Pakistan, which has its own duties and rights under the Constitution. And these elections were held in a manner which till the last moment, till the 7th of March, were not in any way criticized by any vocal section of the population or by any of the active participants in the election. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that before, much before the 7th of March, much before the polling day, it was contended by the combined opposition party that they would not accept any result that would not stand in their favor, that they would reject any result that would be opposed to their own aspirations and expectations. They also said that they had already won the election and that the 7th of March was only a formality. They claimed and they boasted that they would take over the reins of government on the 6th of March, or latest by the 7th of March, before the counting of votes and before the announcement of the result. This then was their attitude. Moreover, I think most of you who took part in the election will recall that on a number of occasions, the combined opposition parties said that it was simply impossible to manipulate the election on such a vast scale. And they said that they had made full arrangements to see that manipulation were not possible. And right up to the 7th of March, up to the time of the counting, they did not register any viable protest or complaint. However, when the results were out, and when the broad masses of the people the conscious and conscientious people of Pakistan took a deliberate decision in favor of the Pakistan People's Party, the combined opposition parties adopted an obscurantist and a negative attitude which was against the interests of the democracy. Ladies and gentlemen, the trouble is that for a very long time in our part of the world, in our underdeveloped part of the world, in our developing countries, with the kind and merciful industrialization of the world described us as being underdeveloped or developing, and which we know too well that we are neither underdeveloped nor developing, but that we are non-developed and that we will remain non-developed until the present iniquitous international economic order prevails in the world. However, to go back to the main point, in developing countries or underdeveloped countries or non-developed countries, as they should rightly be called, very often political parties with vested interests who want to cling on to an absolute order, who do not want to see the rays of tomorrow, who want to live in antediluvian conditions to perpetuate their privileges and their power, they consider the people to be chattel. They consider that the people are incapable of basic thinking. They think that they can sway the people's feelings and thoughts and sentiments and slogans. They think that they can merely arouse the people temporarily, play with them, play with their sentiments, and get away the scheme of their own activity. The world does not stand still. The world has moved on. The world has moved on very fast. If the world has not progressed physically very fast, there is no doubt at all that mentally the world is far ahead of the physical reality. But sometimes people look at the physical reality, they see the inefficiency of the masses, they see the abysmal conditions under which people live, they develop contempt for them. They feel that those individuals are incapable of making any logical conclusions, and they believe that mentally that these people are as retarded as are the physical condition. But this is not true, because although physical conditions can only change with certain economic and certain practical steps and development, mental conditions can change without economic investment and without economic procedures and economic development. And so we have found that today this is no longer the world of yesteryear. This is no longer the world of the old time. This is no longer the world in which people will be swayed by oratory alone or by an appeal to basic sentiment. Today the people will weigh the pros and the cons. They will take into account what is good for them and what is bad for them. They have the strength, they have the vitality, they have the energy, they have the imagination to take a correct decision which affects basically their welfare and the welfare of their children. In other words, they have at least this much sense, they have at least this much knowledge that they know. They know basically, I say, who is their friend and who is not working for their interest. They know which policy is predicated towards their well-being and which policy is not predicated towards their well-being. I can assure you that we may live in case we may be having the most backward condition. We may be having people who are in tatters. We may not be having the universities and the colleges and the schools. Our people might be living in filth and poverty. But this much advance they have made, this much progress they have made, that in this period of the last 5 to 10, 15 years, should I say, that a great change, a great transformation has taken place in their mental thinking. The villager is no longer that old villager who bowed his head and who accepted in humility and in helplessness the order given to him. The worker working in the factory is no longer a suppliant. The downtrodden masses, the broad masses of the people, they are no longer those who can be manipulated and who can be deceived and unruined. If basic threat can be perpetuated against their interests. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what has been the struggle of the Pakistan People's Party? The struggle of the Pakistan People's Party, from the time it came into being, has not been the struggle to capture political power. I want to make this quite clear, that when the Pakistan People's Party was formed in December 1967, Pakistan People's Party did not give to the nation or to the party a blueprint for the seizure of political power. The Pakistan People's Party gave documents to the people, documents on political thinking, documents on economic matters, documents on socio-economic matters, documents an internal matter. We serve the people with political motivation. We arouse the people's consciousness. Our first task and our immediate task was to fulfill this objective. I remember very vividly when we met in Lahore and when I spoke at that convention. I told those people who had gathered there that if you have come to join this party to get the fruits of power and office, please go and join another party. But if you have come to this party to arouse the people, to make the people conscious, to bring their mental process into the 20th century, to make them understand the benefits of education, to make them understand the benefits of land redistribution, of income redistribution, to make them understand the benefits of a moral and of an egalitarian approach, we would have achieved our living. I was not courageous enough to talk to them in terms of human rights. World of today, in this civilized world, to concentrate on human value, to concentrate on the importance of the individual, to concentrate on the well-being of the family, to concentrate on the well-being of the village, of the town, the city, and the country as a whole. Ladies and gentlemen, this is how we proceeded. And if you ask me that if there have been any achievements at the Pakistan People's Party, I will say that I can more readily tell you of our failures. But if you ask me that no, we still insist that you tell us of the achievement, you tell us something of the achievement, I would say the most important, the single most important achievement of the Pakistan People's Party has not been a mere land reform here or there, which is also vital, which is essential, or increase in salaries, or labor reform, or industrial reform, or nationalization of certain key industries. All these are very important. And I am glad that it has been during the tenure of the Pakistan People's Party that we have brought about a massive transformation in the socio-economic order in Pakistan. This is a matter of great pride and satisfaction, not to me alone, but to the teeming millions of the people of this country. And you have to see them, you have to see their faces, you have to see the expression in their eyes to know what I am saying when I say that it has been a very rewarding, a very rewarding task to have given a final blow to the evil and iniquitous feudal system that prevailed in this country, to have abolished the Sardari system, to have broken the monopoly of big capitalists, and to have brought about a system of government and a system of society which has spread the wealth. I do not want to talk in textbook terms. People misunderstand textbook terms. I am not afraid of expressing. I am not afraid of using textbook terms. But this is not the occasion to use textbook terms. I am committed to my principles. I will stand by my principles. I do not change my ideas. I do not change my convictions merely because the wind might be sometimes the east wind and sometimes the west wind, because the wind blows in both directions. Sometimes it blows in one direction, sometimes it blows in another direction. But the force has to be kept here. So We have done these things. And I am glad that in the last 5 years, if you recall what has been done, it is that we have captured fundamental reform in Pakistan. And we have brought about a massive transformation. But I would say, again, that if I were to be asked as to tabulate which has been the most important achievement of the Pakistan People's Party, I would humbly say that in my humble opinion, that the most important achievement of the Pakistan People's Party has been that there has been a massive transformation, a massive mobilization in the thinking of the people. There has come about a qualitative change in the outlook of the people of this country. This is the most rewarding aspect of our struggle. Here in this house sit many people who represent their constituents. Here in this house sit a gentleman who comes from my district, who was the biggest jagirdar in the whole of the Indo-Pakistan subcontinent. Not only in Pakistan, but the biggest jagirdar of both India and Pakistan. And he rose from my district and he's sitting in this house. He was a supreme feudal chief. And being a neighbor of mine, I have seen his former jagir, I have been close to him. And I know in the old days, when I was young, what was the condition, how he met the people, or how his illustrious forefathers and ancestors and fathers met the people. And now, when I went last year during the flood, I saw such a huge transformation in those very people. And I forgot about the flood. I forgot about the misery of the people when I went to Radhi Dore.